Well, hello there. It's the news, according to me. Well, a fine, happy Wednesday morning to you this morning. This is October the something. It's something. That's all right. I guess it's the 12th. October the 12th, 2022. October's about half over with now. Before you know it, the winter will be over. It's fall's about done, and winter will be over, and it'll be Christmas time. It'll come and go, and then the next thing you know, it's summertime. So I'm going to make sure that the winter goes by very quickly. I'm going to keep saying that till it's gone. Winter's not my favorite month, or my favorite season, I guess it is. I wish it only lasted a month. It would be fine with me. I really like fall weather, actually. Fall, I like the fall. The problem is, autumn time is nice. The problem is what comes after it, and I'll look forward to it. If we could go right in from fall, go right into the, autumn, leaves falling and things, the bugs dying, and the crisp air, and the fun around the campfire type thing. And then go right into spring where things just kind of pop back out again. Maybe have like 1 week for Christmas of just get dumped on by snow. Everything canceled. Just did snow for, just get a week of snow. Everything's canceled. Then we kind of just let it melt off and then spring. That'd be great. That'd be good. That'd be awesome. And then just go right back into summer again. Maybe an extra month of summer or something in there. This would be, the perfect weather. But I digress. That's not what happens. And I didn't plan it that way. Nobody asked me when they were doing the planning on the seasons. That's just what they came up with. And I wish I would have had at least my input on that. But they didn't. So that's what we got. We got this. The couple things in the news. One of the big things in the news is what's in my cup. And I actually have Arby's sweet tea with me this morning. I don't have anything else. That's all I've got. I guess just got Arby's sweet tea. You would think I'd be able to get a little something more than that. I'm in Atlanta again. I just got into Atlanta yesterday, hence the early morning show that I did. I did it late night on Monday and had set up to post early morning on yesterday morning. Of course, today's show, it's 8:10 right now, which is kind of late, actually, considering I've been up a few times. I do have a couple topics. I already had some things in my head that I was going to talk about today. Of course, but after the Monday, the weekend, all the stuff that builds up, and of course, Monday, I'm usually loaded with bear, I always say that. Anyway, I'm usually pretty well loaded with topics. I typically, when I'm traveling on the road like this, I like to keep the shows a little shorter, and so this show will not be that long. However, there are a couple things I want to dive into, and who knows where that's going to lead me. Sometimes I say that, and then I go down the rabbit hole, and I end up with an hour-long show, but I don't know if that's going to happen this time. So I have a couple big things in the news. One thing is very small, but it really disturbs me, and I want to talk about that a little bit. One thing is, of course, the whole Tulsi Gabbard issue. People on both sides of the aisle talking about this. Not as many people on the left are talking about this. Tulsi Gabbard was vilified by some high-ranking individuals in the Republican regime, and I think that kind of caused she's been on the outs with them for a while. One of the main characters in that was Hillary Clinton. She came out with some very damning information about who Tulsi Gabbard is. Now, there was a montage Tucker did last night that was really interesting. He played this whole thing about how the leftist establishment was just goo-goo gaga. The media thought she was the rising star. There's movies going to be made about her, and how many times have they coronated somebody like this? That one lawyer, whatever his name was, Stormy Daniels' lawyer. And then there was, anybody who pops up on the radar that's popular, who was going after Trump and was a popular individual. Oh, this is presidential material. This is a rising star. This is a presidential person. And then, of course, they, they end up vilifying, or the person goes to prison, or there's all kinds of corruption comes out about the person. How many times has this happened with them? They choose poorly, apparently. And now we got Biden in the White House, and that's been a disaster. They thought, well, this is going to be easy. We can just, he's malleable. We can just make him whatever. But unfortunately, all the policies, all this anti-Trumpness. Well, if Trump signed it, we have to unsign it. Have to undo everything he did because, Hitler. And I think there was somebody else who played the other day. They played all this stuff about all the things that were going to happen if Trump got elected, all the things that they tried to scare us into. And they pointed out very clearly, they drew all the lines to, this is exactly what's happening under Biden. All the things they warned us of. Of course, they're still blaming it on Trump. 2 years later, it's the pandemic. Well, it's the pandemic. Nobody saw that coming. No, the pandemic had to be the pandemic, and that's why we have a bad economy now. The economy is all about the pandemic. Oh, it's the war. It's the war. It's the war. It's the Russians. It's the Russians. It's got to be the Russians. It's just one thing after another with the that they can't take any responsibility for themselves, that they made any mistakes or that they did anything wrong. Because look, we've got all these boxes checked here on everybody that we're putting into office now. We got all the genders. We got all the different races and genders and animals and all the spiders, whatever it is, that they're in the right place and everything's in its place now. We got, just makes us in further utopia, and we're just passing out money like it's made out of water. We're just printing money, sending it out there. Adam Schiff did a very good, not to be confused with, not Adam Schiff. What am I thinking of? The guy's last name is Schiff, but it's not Shifty Schiff. It's, he's a financial guy. Did a very, very good piece on how inflation affects the nation, what causes it, and why government officials don't mind a little bit of inflation, or they don't mind a lot of it at all, but they know it's not popular. But what causes inflation and how it's used as a tool against us, and why some people like it, and and then he talks about the impending collapse and he's talked about a collapse again. It's going to be worse than 2008. However, the pandemic now is. In some ways postponed it, but the reaction after the pandemic now is going to escalate and deepen it, this collapse that we're going to have. And now, as he said, it's actually accelerated. So all the postponing that we did, all it did was like pent up some of the pressure that was building, and it's just going to be worse. It's going to be harder to reverse at this point, even no matter what we do, because of the reaction that government has just basically dumped a bunch of gasoline on the fire. And it all looks okay on the surface. The problem is that once this thing gets to a point, it's like a balloon that bursts or a membrane that loses its integrity. It's like it just blows out in one area, and it's just that just leads to just this gushing effect that it has on everything. So it's interesting. And speaking of Biden's, there's the recording of Joe Biden. There's a recording of him talking to Hunter Biden about his problems he was having, wanting him to get help. It's very endearing message. Is actually, it's a father who cares about his son, and he wants to see him get help, and he wants to help him out whatever he needs. Knows he's out of control. Well, of course, this goes right along with the other voicemail where he calls him and he says, hey, I think I saw this, read the article. I think you're in the clear. I think you're clear. Basically, he's telling him that he's. He's got him off the hook for all the things he did. We're good. We're good. We got this good article. They didn't expose anything. We're good. And they're very disturbing with regard to the information they're talking about. They're even more disturbing. Is another aspect of it that you probably won't think that I you know, they won't realize I'm going to go there, but I'm going to talk about why it disturbs me more than anything else. But getting back to this Tulsi Gabbard thing, and I will play, hopefully I'll have a recording of this. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more tomorrow as well, but she really just nails everything about the Democrat Party that is just out of, it's just off left, it's just gone. And now hopefully, I know that there are some other Democrats in the party that have the same kind of attitude. The traditional Democrats, the JFK Democrats, whatever you want to call them, they are struggling with all this stuff too. Now, to see Tulsi step out, they're probably going to say, well, let's see what happens to her. Now, after the election, you may see more of this. I don't think it's going to happen prior to the election. I really don't. I don't think there's going to be this mass following of Tulsi. However, the things that she called out in her speech as she left, they were very damning and they were very much on point. They were actually very, very well spoken and articulated. And I'm going to dive into some of those things as we go through the week here. However, now, and I know people are saying, well, I don't trust Tulsi. She's still a Democrat. She's whatever. Well, there is an issue here. She's not actually in office anymore right now. She wants to run for office, and she politically may run again in 2024. I think she's setting herself up for that, for 2024 run. We'll see how that works. I don't, unless you have a party behind you, she might actually be trying to get herself positioned to run as a Republican on the Republican ticket. That is very possible. Now, she may try to run as an independent. That's usually suicide. For anybody who does that, is in terms politically, that's usually ruins or hurts one side or the other. I don't know that it will necessarily balance one side or the other. I think that there, if Trump runs, I think there are a lot of establishment Republicans who will vote for Tulsi. In terms of in the primary, I think she would have a chance of primarying Trump with regard to traditional, establishment GOP members. Simply because they want anybody but Trump. There were establishment Republicans who wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton, who were telling people to vote for Hillary Clinton just to get rid of Trump. I don't know if you recall that or not. Now, Glenn Beck was one of those individuals. Glenn Beck actually also even was supporting the idea that, well, we'll just wait 4 years, let Hillary do it, and then we'll just come back into the, you know, we'll just come back with Trump later. He was saying that initially. When Trump first looked like he was winning the primary, he made those statements early on when Trump was trouncing the primaries. He just thought it was disaster. And whatever you think about the guy's personality, it's one thing. It's policy that we have to examine here. We can see where policy gets us. Now, in the last 2 years, policy, even with all the self-righteousness that comes along with this party and everything that they're on, all their own moral standards, they have this phony morality that they judge things on, and it's a fake self-aggrandizing virtuism that they have, that they like to, and then what they do that by calling out your racism, by calling out your transphobia, your xenophobia, that's supposed to elevate them because they recognize that you're racist, so therefore that makes them better. They don't come out and say it that way, but that's the way they operate. That's by them being out there standing in the street, all of their fake rage for the inequality or the inequity, the phobias, the hatred. We're against hate. I'm against hate. And they scream it at your face. How much they oppose your hatred for them, for these people or whatever. They stand up for the little guy. And it's very hateful. but they don't realize it. That it's almost as if they're blind to their own. Well, it just gets back to that whole self-awareness thing. They have no self-awareness whatsoever. No ability to objectively look at the stand back from a situation and look at it and say, well, what are we going to do about this? But a couple of people made statements lately. In fact, the vice president made a statement recently along this line. They come out and they make these statements. And I'm listening to this statement that Kamala Harris made about these governors who are sending people to like Martha's Vineyard and Kamala Harris's house, basically. And they're like, well, they see a problem and they want to ignore it. This is a dereliction of duty. They're not dealing with the issue, and they're just. She's talking about them. But the whole time, when I first heard the speech, I thought, are you talking about yourself? I didn't know who they were talking about initially, because when I first heard them talking, I didn't hear the setup to what they were saying. And I was like, are you calling yourself out? I mean, these are words that I would say about you. The dereliction of duty, seeing the problem and not offering solutions. The problem is that the border is a sieve right now. If that, it's a sieve with a hole in it, with several gaping holes. It's more like a colander. But the idea that they got all this rage, this hatred, they're talking down about these governors and how they're not contributing to the solution. That's pretty rich to say that. Then you have the mayor of New York coming out and saying, we didn't ask for this. Our system is overwhelmed. We can't support this kind of thing, because they're sending people to New York. How do you think small town America feels when you send just indiscriminately, so to speak, drop a group of people into small town America? And, you know, the little, how do you think they feel about it? It's kind of, and how do you think the border states feel? They didn't ask for it either. What they've been asking for is some way to control the border. And that they're not getting that. Oh, no, because you're a border state, you have to just have to deal with it. They just have to let them overrun your citizens there and overrun your school system, overburden every social program you have. That's okay. That's okay. Because, you know, if you don't agree to that, then you're a xenophobic racist. But if you truck 1,000 of them to a city with millions of people, well, we don't know what to do with these people. We're going to have to put them on a cruise ship or something. We're going to put them in some hotels. We got to put them up in hotels. We can't do this. We can't keep doing this. We got to raise our taxes now because of this. And take care of these people. It's just the hypocrisy is off the chart. It's off the scale. It goes beyond. I don't know if there's anything beyond hypocrisy. It'd be nice if there was a definition of a word that goes beyond hypocrisy, because that's what this does. It's just, it's blatant, just ridiculousness. But Tulsi calls a lot of these things out. And especially the whole war machine thing. And then she calls out the anti-white racism. That's a statement that is very, that's a very bold statement to make in this climate, in this particular political atmosphere. Because that is there is an extreme movement, and it is anti-white racism. Now, they will always argue that, well, you can't be racist if you're only white people can be racist because they're the ones with the institutional power. Now, I guarantee you that won't change. As the institutional power begins to change, they won't change that. There are still people on the left. There are radical left anarchists who want to burn the system down. They're actually in our school systems now, and they're saying this kind of thing. There was a recording of one particular school teacher who was saying that. He wants to burn the system down. They don't want this establishment rule, any form of rule of law that's top down, anything like that. Now, true anarchism is there's method to their madness. They believe that anarchy is not. And when we say something is anarchy, we think that that's chaos. Well, it's not necessarily anarchy. Just means there's no overhead government. It's just, you know, everybody protects themselves. It's every man for himself kind of thing. And you establish communities, or you establish, you know, like agreements with people. And then you, within that, you have your own legal system, what's allowed and what's not. So in a sense, it's just a microcosm, micro scale of what they claim that they don't like on a larger scale. And I get it. I understand what there are problems with any establishment. You're always going to have corruption within. As long as there's people involved, you're going to have corruption there, because people are corruptible. So it's very difficult to have any kind of organization, church, health organization, whatever it is. There's always going to be some people who are nefarious and try to, you know, to jack around with the system, and they try to, you know, do this and do that and monkey with it and fiddle with things and try to get more out of it than they are supposed to have. There's always going to be those people around. People give in to temptations like that. So that is an issue, yes. That is a problem. But Tulsi calls out a bunch of this kind of stuff. And I think for doing that, she will be richly rewarded by the Democrat Party. Not. One of the things that was spoken of her was Hillary Clinton called her a Russian asset. Now, stop and think about that. This is someone who was in the military, she's a very, rather patriotic individual. And to have someone say that about you is extremely offensive. And of course, now Tulsi was trying to call some of these things out in some of the debates, and she said some things that, of course, when she came out with some of her speaking about the military-industrial complex, that just rubbed a lot of people the wrong way on both sides of the aisle. You've got people in the GOP who are extremely deeply involved in the military-industrial complex, and as well as on the left. That's why you see both people on the left and the right wanting support the, you know, the war effort or war mongering, the war hawks that are there. They're all part of that. They want to send our kids off to fight and die because it's not their kids. The foreign wars comments that she was making, these endless foreign wars, regime change wars. She called them out on all that stuff. Here's a question I have for you, though. And I think that this is probably... Do I dare go there? Like, as if it matters. Like, as if I... Like as if it really matters. What kind of dating life has Tulsi Gabbard had? Just going to throw that question out there. No one has ever questioned anything about that. No one's ever spoken about it. No one's ever asked her in an interview. I take that to be a little bit odd. Seems a little strange to me. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. But there you go. I have this other issue I've got with the Hunter Biden stuff. There have been a couple of situations, actually more than two, I think. Now, maybe this stuff was on Hunter's laptop. Maybe this stuff was in something posted that Hunter had that's been leaked somehow. But you stop and think about this. When was the last time you left a voicemail for somebody and that voicemail ended up on the internet? This is kind of disturbing that a vice president or that a former vice president or a president would leave a voicemail on their son's answering machine. I don't know what kind of answering machine they had. I don't know if it was something, was it the kind that you can download the messages, or was it a, you know, the old cassette tape style message? How does that message? I don't understand how the messages, my voicemail messages, would end up, even the voicemail messages on my phone, how they would end up getting to the press, unless I wanted them to. Now, I can, you know, on my phone, I get voicemails, of course, and I can send that voicemail to someone else. I can share that voicemail with someone. I can do that. It's always possible. And that can get out there. Now, why would, if this was a direct call from Joe to Hunter, how does that end up on the evening news? Is anybody asking that question? Who leaked this stuff? And again, this gets back to our little alphabet soup organizations. By the way, I don't know if I talked about this the other day or not. It's interesting that Google, you know, Google is this mass organization that started off as, you know, just a few guys in a garage, basically, kind of thing. The old story of a couple guys, you know, put together this search engine, and it becomes really popular. It becomes a household word. Google it. Next thing you know, it becomes, you know, very lucrative with regard to advertising and marketing. You want to be high in the Google search. You get Google ads. You do all this stuff. Next thing you know, and this other organization comes in with a bunch of money. This other group comes in and buys it. And then it explodes. And of course, then it becomes this massive entity that knows everything about you. Interesting that the group behind this, now it's been pretty well documented that there is black bag funding, what's called black bag funding, for organizations within the United States that are actually started and owned and report to and directed by the CIA and the NSA and other alphabet soup organizations. And of course, the name of this group that actually owns Google is called Alphabet. Coincidence? I don't know. I have my little tinfoil hat on here this morning. Kind of interesting that goes that way. So how do you get all this stuff? Now, this gets back to the whole FBI thing and how they will do an investigation on someone, get all their information. They went after Mike Lindell's phone. He's not being prosecuted for anything. He's not under arrest. They just had this warrant to pick up his phone, and they took it from him in a parking lot. The same thing happened to a sitting member of Congress. They just took his phone. How do you do that? You have to realize, when you're getting someone's phone, you're not just getting a phone. You're getting a lot of their information. You're getting all their voicemails. You're getting all that other stuff that goes along with all that, all their emails, access to everything. I tell you, if the FBI wanted my phone, came to me and said, yeah, I'll give you my phone right after I smash it. I'm going to break it in half, and you're going to get all the pieces. You just wanted the phone. There it is. That's the entire phone right there. You got the phone. You don't get all my other information. You don't get to delve into everything else about me. You just don't get it. You can have the phone. Oh, yeah, sure, there's a phone. Yeah, you can have it. Because, you know, the warrant was for the phone, not for my emails. Doesn't give you, you know, that's like saying a warrant for your entire life, your entire home, your entire, everything in your house. I have a warrant for everything in your house. Or they'll have a warrant for electronic devices. Well, so you want the toaster? You want my razor, my electric shaver? You want that's electronic device. Oh, we don't want that. Well, you're going to get it because, you know, it's electronic devices. And by golly, I'm going to make sure you get everything you want, because that's what happened to Trump. They went after him at his house down there, got him to sign, get some lawyer to sign off it. Yeah, you've got all the classified documents. Oh, well, what if we find another one that's classified? Now you've lied to us. Now you're under arrest. Now you've broken the law. Well, I don't know. Everything that was in the room here, you got it all. So I don't know. We found something in Melania's underwear drawer. That's the kind of thing that they are known for. This is the kind of trickery. This is the kind of nefarious, in my opinion, corrupt way of doing things that they tend to operate under, that I find incredibly despicable and just unprofessional. And yeah, so that's where I'm going to go with that. Well, once again, folks, it is the beginning of a middle of the day. This is what they call hump day, I guess. Not for me. This is day two of my week, but it's going to be a long week. I don't get home until Sunday night, so it's going to be a very long, long, long week. There will be a show tomorrow morning and a show Friday morning. If all goes well, there'll be a little bit earlier in the day. Hopefully that happens. Don't know how that's going to happen, but it will happen. I hope. Yesterday was a very long day. I got up at 4 a.m. in the morning and didn't end until about 11 o'clock at night, which that means I just need a little extra sleep. So tomorrow morning, I'll probably get up a little earlier and be a little bit more skipper and spry. I haven't even done my workout yet this morning. So once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thank you for sharing this important information that I give out every day for free. You know, you get what you pay for, basically, for this show. Once again, folks, pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. God bless, and have a great day.